Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it.
Hi, Kat. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I write queer historical romance set in a variety of periods. And I think I've written 13 books now, I think. I grew up in New York and New Jersey, but now I live in North Florida. And I live a few minutes from the beach, and I only go to the beach like once a year under duress.
Awesome. So what inspired you to start writing queer historical romance? You know, because it's a unique niche. You have corner of the market and has created a great brand for people looking for historical romance that are like not just a typical whatever we assume what historical romance is. Like there were queer people living in historical times
too. Right. So I started reading romance like around the time when my younger kids were born, and I just needed books with a happy ending. Like that was just like, I was basically self-medicating with romance novels. Mm-hmm. And after literally a couple years of this, I started to get pretty irked about the fact that I was mainly reading about like rich, white, straight, able-bodied people. Okay. And of course, like now several years later, I realized that these books were out there. You know what I mean? They were there. It's just that, you know, findability is an issue. And at that point I wasn't on social media. I didn't have like the bookish resources that I do now, you know, and these books were out there, which now it only makes me more livid. You know what I mean? That these books were out there and I didn't know about it. And so I came to the only conclusion that made sense at the time, which was, I guess I should write a book, you know, and I had never written anything. I used to be a lawyer. And I think the longest thing I ever wrote was like maybe a 10-page legal brief. and I was like, oh, I'll write a book. Like I can do this. Sure. And at the time, Avon, which is my publisher, was in the summer of 2015, they were doing fanlit. Okay. I think it was their second or third fanlit. I am not sure. And I wound up like taking all of their prompts and making them like as queer and as you know, like just like twisting them around in the way that I wanted them to be twisted around, right? And I had a ball with it, you know. And so did, and like, and I was so glad also that like the other participants and also the Avon people realized that I wasn't like attacking the genre, you know what I mean, that I was having fun with it, because you know that it was all from a place of like love and enjoyment. And I wound up in that fanlit, I met my editor Al Keck, and I met my critique partner / beta reader / excellent friend, Margaret Martin. And like, I wound up, that experience gave me the confidence to sit down and actually write like an actual book length book, you know, finish it. I knew people liked my writing enough so that I could, but you know, that you need a little bit of a boost, right? Because you're sitting alone in your house and you don't have anyone reading your stuff. You could be writing garbage. You have no idea. And having people whose job it is praise your writing is a huge ego boost. You know, you kind of have to write something after that, right? And so I wrote something. And then after that, I really just got lucky, okay? Like it was, at the time, there weren't that many queer historical romances, okay? Especially not the stuff, what I was writing at the time, and still pretty much am, is like really trope driven. Okay. Like really, like you take your like Loretta Chase type of historical romance and make the characters, you know, a little, make the characters queer, make the characters maybe not particularly rich, you know, and then go from there. There wasn't a terrible amount of that on the market. And so when I queried Deirdre Knight, my agent, and then she pitched it to Avon, it was like there was a demand for it at that time that wasn't being met, right? And I happened to be the author who was there at that time. You know, like there's no doubt in my mind that it was like a being in the right place at the right time situation, because now just a few years, that was in 2015, and my first book, The Soldier Scoundrel, came out in 2016. So in that intervening 5 to 6 years, there's been a huge change. And now there's like so much, and I'm like, this is like, I feel A, grateful that I got in when I did, right? And B, as a reader, like this is enormously exciting, because whenever I want, now, whatever flavor of like queer historical romance I want, it is out there. Almost. I could, you know what I mean? Like I could do with more settings. I could do with way more sapphic historical romance, but there's so much more than there was a few years ago, which is enormously exciting to me.
It is really exciting. I feel like you're in the forefront of something, a major movement that's happening where we're starting to get more and more and more, and there's a demand for it. Like people are diving into these romance. They're looking for beyond of the rich white street, you know, Regency romance. We're like looking for, you know, Georgian romance or Gilded Age or Victorian and even just queer, and just like looking at the diversity of it, you know. So this is really exciting. So
yeah, I feel like there was a contracting of the historical romance, I don't want to say market, okay, because that's like, I don't know, I really don't know much about that end of it, but like there was for a long period what we were seeing was almost entirely Regency set romances. And that is still the bulk of historical romance, make no mistake, right? But this is like, it's starting to stretch. And like you said, we have like these American set Gilded Age romances, you know, my new release is in the 1750s, which is like a that far off from Regency, but it's early enough that you have a different flavor. And like, I really hope that this opens the, not opens the door, but I hope that this signals, you know, like even more of an expansion, and that we wind up with, maybe we can move out of North America and England. Like maybe we can see, you know, like different perspectives.
Yeah, I would love to read some Renaissance romance.
Yes. Yes.
Some Italian, so maybe some Asian, you know, like, you know, Chinese dynasty or even Indian, like royalty. Yep. There's a wealth of like flavors. So or some Egyptian.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Indiana Jones, or archaeologist.
Yes. I know, like it's right there. I mean, like, give me the mummy. I want the mummy.
Yes. I'm praying because of the mummy resurgence on social media. I feel like there should, like, some authors should pay attention. Yeah. Like, there's a market here. We need to corner.
It is like there is, honestly, you could rewrite the mummy as a romance novel, and it still, people would understand exactly that it had been ripped off from the mummy, and still. You'd be a millionaire, okay? Somebody go do it.
Yes, go do it. So you have a trade paperback, which is very exciting. So The Queer Principles of Kid Webb was released as a trade paperback, which is like more widely released and probably like a mass market. What was the rationale behind it? And, you know, talk to us about Kid Webb. Like, what is the expectation? What is the elevator pitch?
So, like, pretty ignorant about like the business end of things. Like I just don't ask. I often just don't ask. Like part of me doesn't want to know, you know, like I just want to write my story and not think about like what happens if it's not well received or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like I'm just going to write my book. There's not really any way that I can write the book better than I'm going to write the book. Right. I wouldn't know how to pitch to a wider market, like how to, if I tried. So I'm just going to write the book. Right. However, like the idea was with this to reach a wider market, like that if the book was, I don't know, packaged differently, that maybe there would be more of an audience for it. I think.
Yeah.
And which is like, And so I definitely, I put out like the, like peppiest, the peppiest book that I had in my heart at the time, you know, and I had a lot of fun writing it. So it was, and so I hope that it would be the kind of book that would be like a fun read for a lot of people. Like there are heavy issues in there, make no mistake, but that I hoped it would be, I hesitate to say a rom-com because I don't know what that means anymore, but like I hope that it would like hit that spot, you know, for readers.
Yeah, I have to tell you, Percy is just adorable. Like Percy and Kid, how he's grumpy and he's like, I don't want to deal with you, you know, like this brings us joy. Like I'm just like reading, like I'm brand new to this era of like 1750s, the wigs, the powder, the whole stuff. I was like, it was just like a really fun setting just to see this connection happen. So
I had a ball writing it. Like I started writing it at the very beginning of lockdown, mm-hmm. and immediately put it aside. Like, you know what I mean? Like there was absolutely no way, no brain, children all over my house doing like stealing my internet and doing homeschooling, you know, there was just absolutely no way that it was getting written. And so I wrote something else, something like really short, plot free, brain free, you know, like no thoughts, just vibes. And then when my brain sort of settled back down and I was able to write something a little longer and more involved, I was like ready. You know, like at that point I had all the ideas in my head, and I really, it was a lot of fun to write and just to lean into like the aesthetics of the period, and like not only the aesthetics of like what gentlemen wore, like all of their, you know, embroidered waistcoats or whatever, but also to just play with the aesthetics of men's clothing in general, and like how much I like boots and leather, you know.
What's the problem with you not going down the rabbit hole research? Because I feel like that could be like,
yeah,
days on it. And you're like, you find like, oh my gosh, I must know everything about it, you know.
It was like I will not lie, like there were, when I would convince myself I was doing research when I was actually just looking at like period cosplayers on Instagram. Like that was basically last June, with me being like, I'm doing meticulous research on Instagram right now. You know. But you know, like that's inspiration, and you just got to, you know, you have to take it where you find it, right? I really tried to not write a book that was like, let me show you my research, you know, like because I have written that book, you know, like, and I sometimes that's the book that you have in your heart. But I wanted to write a book that was historical, but which would have like a really low barrier to entry for people who don't want to read a historical. You know, like, so you get the vibes, like it's true to the period, but mm-hmm. I did not want to get bogged down in historical details. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that wound up on the cutting room floor, you know?
I can imagine. I feel like there's like, you know, the author knows more about the info than we do know as a reader. And it's like, you know, the author knows like all these details that you're like, okay, but you get the sense of setting. You get the sense of like, this is 1700s, like, this, you know, there's different things that are happening. They're different from Regency, and there's highwaymen, and there's robbery, and there's like, you know, titlemen and villains and all this fun stuff. So the setting doesn't feel like too, like it's a big barrier. It's just like, it's just part of it, you know, but there's the stories, what engages you to keep reading, so.
That was my goal. So I'm glad to hear it.
Yes. So what are you working next?
I'm working on the sequel to The Queer Principles of Kitwab. It involves two side characters who, I don't want to do spoilers, but like if you get to the end of Kitwab, you kind of know, like, you know what's happening. Okay. The first part of it is an epistolary romance between a blackmailer and his victim. And they basically fall in love via letters, like you do. And then they wind up fleeing London together because of a murder charge. or a feared murder charge. And then it's like kind of a road trip romance, which then leads into a couple of heists. And so it's one of the characters is Marion, who is Percy's best friend and sort of mother-in-law, but they're the same age. And she is a hot mess throughout Kit Webb. And so like it, and so she's just a disaster bisexual for the entirety of the sequel. And that's, and that's also been really fun to write. And I'm in the process of revising it right now, actually. So I'm at the tail end of that journey.
I was going to say, that sounds so much fun. I feel like it would just be fun to write, just think about all these different layers of, you know, the whole process, the whole sequence, you know, taking the characters to all of the different things. You're like, okay, let's just put them to this extreme and see, you know, how they fare, you know?
Yeah. Like that was pretty much my goal. I was just like, this is going to be like situations that readers of historical romance will recognize, right? You know what I mean? Like the road trip where you have to stay at an inn, and like, I mean, obviously there's only one bed, right? Like, I mean, like this is like, we know this, you know, and then there's a heist and like, we know that. So yes.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So. Can't wait to get my hands on it. So what has been a couple of books that you recommend our listeners to pick up?
So for the past year, like there are two books that I've been hollering at everybody about for the past 2 years. And one of them is Gideon the Ninth, which one of the reasons it was such a delight to read is because it is so far removed from what I write. Like, you know what I mean? There's no sense. Like, I'm reading that, I have absolutely no sense of like, I'm not paying attention to craft. I'm not paying attention to how is she hitting the plot beats? Like, nope. Like that is like, it is a totally different universe than like my writing universe. And also it is such a delight to finish a book. And also I read the sequel also, right? And so to read a book and then have like your red tape conspiracy wall for like what happened, you know what I mean? Like, and then be able to talk to your friends about what happened, and that like sense of being immersed in this universe and speculating about what it is that you just read is, I haven't had that in so long. So I think I must've been a teenager the last time I felt like that about a book series. And so now I'm like rabidly awaiting the third book in that series. And the other one is the the Brown Sister series by Talia Hibbert. It's that book, that series has been such a joy. The third book, actor age Eve Brown, was like, I couldn't even get over it. I was like, oh my god, like this is like a soft and like safe romance between two neurodivergent characters, like, and it was I laughed out loud, and also like it was a total like sucker punch to the feelings, you know. And so those are two totally different, like two radically different books, and I love them both. So those are the two things I can't shut up about.
I'm all about, I've been hearing about Gideon the Ninth for ages, and so you just like add it to the TBR, like put it on the top of the list. I'm just like afraid of necromancers, like, but I'm like, it's just going to be fantasy, like just yes. Suspend disbelief, you know?
I went in totally ignorant about what the book was about. Okay. And so I was about a third of the way through before I realized that like, when they're talking about like bones, they mean like there are just skeletons walking around, but it's such a part of the world. Like no one in that universe is surprised that there are like bone people bringing them their drinks or whatever. And so you don't, really, like it's very, you know, like that's high quality world building. Are you an audiobook person?
I am.
Okay. The audiobook for both of is like 12 out of 10 stellar. Okay. And since I too am not like necromancy, I would have said that I wasn't into necromancy. Okay. But it turns out I'm all in, right? But like if like, you know, outer space and like cults, okay, yeah, are not your jam. You know, sometimes having somebody read you and perform the story for you is like, makes it like you can just sort of passively accept that reading experience. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is like those, that series is brilliantly done.
Okay. I'm buying the audiobook. So. I love this. Tell us where you can find you online.
My website is katsebastian.com and I'm on Twitter at @katsrights all the time, unfortunately. Like I can't quit it. I'm also on Instagram as a slightly less stressful place for a lot of people with the same handle at @katsrights.
I love this. Thank you, Kat, for being on the show.
Thanks, Laura. I had a great time.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.